I'm going to call to order the regular city council, successor agency, and Stanton Housing Authority joint regular meeting of Tuesday, September the 13th. If you'll please all rise for the pledge. And Gary, you're up.
Hand over your heart. Begin. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I quit. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Van?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Ramirez?
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Shocker?
Here. We have special presentations and awards. This is a presentation of the Parks of California, Parks for Everyone, a video production featuring a Central Park and highlighting the efforts between city staff and park to showcase how every person deserves to experience the mental, physical, and emotional benefits of having a connection and access to nature and current public access.
Mr. Mayor, we'll now play the video.
When you have a park nearby in your community, families are attracted to that, and especially young families who have kids, because it gets people out of their homes.
I feel happy when I go to the park.
Stanton Central Park was inspired by the red car line from the Pacific Electric Railway over 60 years ago. And so you'll see a lot of train themes when you're walking through the park.
The Stanton community is definitely a nice, close community. A lot of our regulars here know each other. Everyone's really friendly.
I think that people want to know, like, who's in their area, and they want to feel like that closeness with people. So it's nice being able to come to a park and see people on a daily and wave to them and catch up on like how your day was. And like, I feel like people here like care about each other.
We had a community member that would walk our trails every day, Mr. Dan, and this was truly his trail, right? Everything he would see, he would let us know if something was wrong. He would come up to staff and let us know. So we want the residents to feel ownership of this park.
So I believe our community has really embraced Stanton Central Park. We have a butterfly garden that was inspired by a little child who stated she never saw butterflies in Stanton. So they wanted to ensure that we fulfill that promise. They planted plants that attract butterflies along with large butterfly statues.
You know, this was nothing when I was a kid. This, you know, and we would play in the street, right? And 20 years ago, if we had had this, it would have been great for us. So it's I love being able to bring my kids here, and they get to share that experience now together with me.
Goes to show if things aren't accessible to you, you maybe don't go out and hang out at them. Whereas the kids now, you know, they are playing at the basketball courts. They have a skate park that they can go to. Like, I'm always seeing big groups of kids, and they always are sharing in that camaraderie, and it's really nice to see.
I actually have a six-year-old, and I remembered my son's fourth birthday was celebrated here. So this place is a place full of memories for my family, because no matter what age you are, you can enjoy it. When you have a community, you have someone, you have somewhere where you belong.
So one thing I tend to think is, where did everyone play prior to this? So now there's a location where they could come, exercise, relax, and participate in our community events.
Central Park, it's a point where our community can come together and work together, play together, and have fun together.
It's a really good park. It has broad walking places, you know, even the pathway of the city coming in, it hardly takes me like 2-3 minutes to be here. So it's, and I have a 5-year-old, so he loves the park. And on summers, they have this water park, and he loves it, so we come here very often.
Since I've been on council for 33 years, I can see what the city used to look like, and I can see what the city looks like today. We have completely turned this city around. It's just the beginning. Zinnia, great job. And tell your staff they were awesome. They did a great job. I think we do have our website, right? Okay, good. I think we might want to share that with public cable television, the PCTA, and let's get it out there. That'd be great. All right, at this time, we'll move on to the consent calendar.
Mr. Mayor, at this time, I do have a request to pull consent calendar item 6H from the consent calendar for separate discussion, sir.
Okay, 6H. Okay, is there anyone on staff wishing to pull anything?
Further items.
Anybody from the city council? Anybody from the public?
No, sir.
Okay, good. Then we'll go ahead and take everything. But H, is there a motion?
Yeah, I'll motion.
Second.
Okay, Madam Clerk, please call roll.
Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez, a second by Councilmember Vann. I'll now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Councilmember Vann?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez?
See.
And Mayor Shaver.
Thank you. Let's go back to H. Go ahead, Madam Clerk.
I would like to introduce item 6H, which is city sponsorship requests, Friends of Families Monthly Food Drive, to our city manager, Ms.
Thank you. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the City Council. The reason this report was pulled in preparing the fiscal impact for the in-kind sponsorship, staff inadvertently left off the item for a special event permit, which is $180 per event, which would change the fiscal impact to $460 per event times the 10 proposed events for the remainder of the fiscal year, increases the fiscal impact to $4,600. That concludes my report. I'm available to answer any questions.
If this particular item for the Myanmar is, again, the Burmese students of Orange County and the LA County had got together, they were very, very satisfied with our Burmese rally that we did to support Burma. I think it was almost a year or 2 months ago. It was very good for the city because we were on all the local television stations showing what we were trying to do. It was also brought in elected officials from all of Orange County who's very supportive of it. It also helped us get some letters to Congress, so they adopted a resolution in Congress to support that action. The event this year was requested to be held on a Saturday, which was October the 8th. It was the best day available, less impact on the city citywide. And go ahead.
So that's great. That item did pass through the consent calendar. At this time, we do have the monthly food drive item for consideration.
Okay.
Or you has the noted changes in red line. At this time, if we'd like to proceed with the vote on this item.
Okay, do I need a motion?
Yes, sir.
I'll make it.
Wait, are we taking questions for 6?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
So it looks like the fiscal impact will be $4,000. Will be to have a food drive, and the request is to have restroom access and traffic control equipment. Anybody elaborate what traffic control equipment entails and whether or not it would be possible to have it without the traffic control equipment? And the restroom access, is there any other option besides the restroom access?
I'll be happy to answer that. We go downstairs in the basement, we open the gate, and we take out the same cones that are used for the city food drive. And we place them out on the walkway. And at the end of the event, we take those cones and we put them back in the basement. As far as the restroom use goes, sometimes if we're lucky, the Boys and Girls Club is open. Sometimes if not, the library is open. And on rare occasions, maybe not so much rare, neither of them are open. I usually personally myself make sure that they're clean and also make sure that the building is locked up. It just takes the gentleman that works he's here in the morning already, and he stopped by and unlocks the door. And then I make sure that everything's cleared out, everything's picked up, and then we close the door.
So you're saying that you only need someone to come in the morning to open the door, and you close the door yourself and do a final check.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other staff time needed besides somebody coming in the morning to open the
door. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's the way it's worked out really well for us. There was some events that we've had here, and I didn't really get a definitive answer. I did ask if it was our group. There was one time when I think a homeless person went in and used the bathroom. and so, or something like that. And so that, there was a concern about security. However, I locked the doors on both sides so you could really only lock into the bathroom. You know, it's, there's 75 scouts here. They go to the bathroom a lot. There's a lot of, scouts are both men and women now, and they use the bathrooms quite a bit. And, you know, if there's something wrong, it's reported to me. I usually ask the person that's doing traffic control out front to keep an eye on the restroom, and he's been pretty good about that over the year. We've had it 2 years now.
So when you're saying that all it takes is for somebody to give us access to the bathroom in the morning, and then I guess someone to close up at the end of the event, is that right? That does not seem to be reflected in the report that says that you're requiring 6 hours each time. 6 hours at $40 an hour. Some staff member explain why it is that you guys are saying it's going to cost us $240 of staff time, and when the mayor is saying something
well,
else.
Well, that's because the city would like to have somebody sit there for 6 hours and guard the bathroom.
Is that standard?
There's no real practice for opening up the city hall bathrooms if it's a non-city sponsored event.
Okay.
We do have a practice at our other facility at Stanton Central Park because the bathroom facility there only is providing access to the bathroom facility. In those cases, we will actually give the key to the event organizer and no staff is required. But because there is some limited access to the rest of a portion of City Hall, if we open up the doors for the public-facing bathrooms, that was staff's concern to prevent any type of unwanted activity or vandalism.
Are these distributions always happening on a Saturday?
Yeah, we don't have it during the week. We don't have it on. We bring the food in on Friday because we bring it in on Friday because there's nobody here, and then we're out of here. And then I clean the whole park up on Saturday afternoon, and we there's nothing. I mean, we leave the park much better than when we use it. It's the park's totally cleaned up, including all the trash that was there for the previous week. Go ahead, Carol.
Has anybody collected any data as to who is getting the food? Is it Stanton residents?
Yeah, we have a log of everybody that we serve, especially if we give diapers away. They have to fill out a little slip, and then that's reported because we have to. I have to give a monthly report to the Orange County Food Bank Agency. The diaper person counts diapers, so we have to give that report. And then wherever we get something from other donors, I have a variety of donors that supply the food. There's also requests for stipulations of how it's handled and given out. We just recently had our annual Orange County and state inspection. They send out a private company to see how we handle the food, how it's processed, and we passed with flying colors. You know, I can't tell you that, Carol, but I tell you we don't turn anybody away. And we always have, this is the largest food drive in the area. It's much bigger than the normal food drives. We usually have 32 pallets of products, whether it's diapers, hand sanitizer, fresh fruit, frozen pastries, chicken, poultry, vegetables. Anything that people need, we give away.
How many cars typically
do you see? We average between 450 and 500. With the account is 3,500 families are served. The nice thing about it too is the money. I mean, not the money, but anything that's left over, we load it up and pass it out to the local organizations in our community so that they can pass it out to their constituents. We work well with a couple of the local churches, food banks. I give food at least twice a week to the Boys and Girls Club. We also give it to a location on Monroe Street that has a food. It's a business, but they actually have a food pantry there, and they pass out food there. And then we also, there's a lot of seniors that know that I have it. They call me up. If I have boxes, I take it over to the residences and deliver it myself. I'm the applicant.
Oh. Okay.
I have the license. that was agreed upon with the City of Stanton to be the City of Stanton Orange County Bank liaison when Jared Hildebrand was the chairman, I mean the whatever it was, how soon after that? When he was the whatever, I ran everything through him. Our city attorney read the agreement with the food bank. Zinnia then presented it, and then at that time it was supported, and so therefore the City of Stanton is an official recipient of food from the Orange County Food Bank. And to be fair with you, I also run food drives at St. Polycarp. I run the one there, it's for the Family Support Center, and I run the food drive there, and I'm also the signee for that. The parish pastor put me in charge of the food bank there.
I noticed that the signs on the tree crossing bathroom service is the Stanton Library, which is right across the street, is open at 9 to 5 p.m. on Saturdays. Would it be possible for the organization to use the public bathroom at the Stanton Library instead of having, you know, the city take close to $30,000 worth of staff time?
What if I got my own person to sit in there and watch the hall?
Well, I mean...
Okay, time out, guys. Okay. I don't really care. I'll go out and get porta-potties.
That was my point.
No. I mean, I will get porta-potties. Yeah, forget it. Just take it off. Not a big deal. But I will tell you, we're not going to go to the library because I have to fight the homeless to use the bathrooms there, and I'm not taking my scouts in there. It's not safe. So that's easy. So we'll just pull it off, right?
Can remove that in
okay, let's
sponsor.
Remove it and move on.
Why don't we take a vote on it? We have to vote. Huh?
I just pulled it off.
But it's doing good.
Well, you know, I don't, guys, I don't really care. I'm going to do it whether the city supports it or not.
Yeah,
the reason I want the city to support it is so I can put a dadgum name out there and let people know that we're the only city that's doing this in Orange County. Because nobody else is.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. I mean, to be clear, we're not striking the entire program. Striking the monitor for 6 hours.
What I'm saying is this program will exist regardless of whether or not the city sponsors it. So the question is, do we want the city to take away close to $5,000 worth of taxpayer money for this when it can still operate without the city sponsorship? That's what I'm hearing, is that regardless of what the city does, it's still going to happen, right? And perhaps this money could go to direct funds.
You don't think this is making it harder on the good work that they're doing?
I think David's so amazing. We can do this
real well. I agree with that. But I think we should make it as easy on them as possible.
And you know, I'll be honest with you. How much did we get? Did we get $15 a month or $25 a month did we used to get for our stipend for our personal use? We used to have that, really. How much was that?
A stipend?
Yeah, how much was that?
Have a stipend outside of your regularly paid city council is when you had the redevelopment.
No, we used to get $25 expense account, and we did away with that. Wasn't that $25 a month we used to get?
Not during my time.
Not before my time, Chief.
Yeah, back in the day, you got a $35 stipend per meeting for the redevelopment agency.
Yeah, I think we also, as city council people, received a small pittance for our costs, but we did away with that. I figured out what that was. We gave it all back. I remember that we had a vote where we all did that. We gave it back. So if you take 25 times 5, that's 125 times the number of meetings that we have. That easily covers quite a bit. Hey, guys, I don't care one way or the other. It doesn't make any difference to me.
$3,000 out of, what is our budget, $12 million or something? This is not a lot of money. Oh. Okay.
We don't have to say yes to all of them. We don't. We can pick and choose the ones we want. We want to hang our hat and put our name on some and not all, that's fine. I think it's fair to assess, you know, $2,400 a year for opening and closing the bathrooms is a tough number. I mean, I agree. Can we meet halfway? I'm fine with that. I think halfway is fair. Porta potty would be an option. Maybe we could find money to have a porta potty here 10 times a year. I think that would probably solve the concern of going across the street. I don't know how much a porta potty is, but I'm assuming it's less than $240 an event.
I think the easiest way to do this without the minimal impact of $100 is to wait for a special event permit. Book the $2,000 worth of sponsorship, right? And then we take a step back. We're saying, okay, the city won't charge the special event permit, and then maybe the organization can take care of the bathroom needs and some traffic cones. I think that's good.
I like the special event permit too.
You like that too?
I do, because it'll hit every single organization, not just one or the other.
The problem with the part-time staff is you've got to find someone to hire and you've got to do this, right? It's not just
Budgets
already done, whereas we're not expecting this revenue.
Agreed, yeah. No, that's my point of contention. It's, I think $240 is a lot of money to open and close the bathroom.
Can you let me use your traffic cones? We have to approve it. We just can't say of course.
No, you got my vote. I'm going to speak with everyone.
Okay, so since the city is giving me free traffic cones, then I can say that we're sponsored by the city and I can put the logo on. Is that okay, HD?
Go ahead.
I think, was there also a motion to grant the special event permit fee? So that would be waived for each of the 10 events? Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
But just the traffic cones.
Yeah, cones.
Restrooms even more than the permit.
So I
say we just do the.
I hate to vacillate and waste people's time here, but why can't we just buy a porta potty and pay an organization to come once a month to clean it, or every 2 weeks to clean it? I mean, a lot of small businesses do that. We could use it for events. We could use it for this. We could use it for that. I mean, we can get use out of it. Why don't we just do that? At least look into it.
And certainly look into it.
You know what? Don't buy it. I'll just go get one donated.
Okay, get it donated, and then we can look at the cleaning fee.
I'll get that donated too.
Yeah, the cleaning fee is nominal.
Hey guys, I don't really care if we don't give me a penny, because I think that the only thing I want to do is get the city involved so we can use our logo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it's our park. Can you just come and use the park, or do you have to get a permit?
You have to get a permit.
Even though it's a public park.
Well, I don't know when it hits the trigger to come get a permit versus organically gathering. Then you.
Hello. Thank you, Mayor, for the question. I would say if we're using a specific amenity like a shelter, it's very straightforward when it's kind of this gray. The rule is if it's going to be more than 20 people gathering, there's some type of permit involved at that point. Especially if it involves, heavy traffic and impact to the rest of the civic center, I would say a permit would be required for that type of operation. We do have, as a reminder, the restrooms at Stanton Park that are available as an option. That what you mentioned, sir, is somebody opens them and there's no staff that needs to guard it because there's no access the way there is here at City Hall. But if there's a preference or the additional access here is where it involves staff.
Restroom at Stanton Park would not need to be
right. Correct.
So how about that here?
Several.
We would give the key to the event organizer on the day of. So we have an event coming up this weekend. So we'll give a key to the event organizer and they're responsible for opening the restroom, closing the restroom, and then returning the key the next day.
How much does that cost?
There's still a special event permit fee.
But no extra cost for the bathroom since we're just passing.
Okay, you know what, guys? We'll just pull it off, and I'll move it to another location. Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. That way we won't put the city in any jeopardy. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and remove it.
Have the event.
No, I'm done. Okay, what's the next item, please, Madam Clerk?
Mr. Mayor, we have item 7, public hearings, which we have none. We move on to item 8, unfinished business. Item 8A, American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA allocation of funds.
Can we please pull up the presentation? I'll go ahead and get started. Since we are having a little bit of technical difficulties, the presentation, if you're following along on your tablet, is as part of the agenda attachment. So as the council knows, the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, also known as ARPA, provided much needed relief to state, tribal, and local governments to help offset the negative impacts of COVID-19. The city's allocation was $9.1 million. The full amount must be encumbered by the end of calendar year 2024. The council has already allocated $7.9 million across a variety of projects serving the community. The remaining funds available for allocation is just over $1.2 million. So as staff reviewed the remaining projects that were of interest in addition to the available funds to be allocated, we kept in mind the community needs assessment, which was conducted in January through February of 2022. And if you recall, 400 members of our community participated in this assessment, which was presented to the City Council at a study session in March of 2022. The most important issues, as identified by the responding community members, included homelessness, COVID-19, housing affordability, public safety, drugs, and crime. The top priorities included addressing homelessness in the city, improving housing affordability, managing traffic congestion, recovering from COVID-19, public safety, economic development and job creation, public infrastructure, supporting local schools, providing social services, including mental health, public landscapes and parks, firefighting and medical aid, and recreation programs and services for all. We also included the city's stated strategic plan objective of promoting a safe community, a strong local economy, quality infrastructure, fiscal stability and efficiency, a high quality of life, and responsive, high quality, and transparent government. So on the slide before you, you see the current project budgets and expenditures that have been already allocated by the council, representing almost an $8 million investment. So next meeting, that staff will bring back an update on each of these projects, project status, and funds spent to date. On this slide, there's a table representing 8 proposed projects to use the remaining funding of $1.2 million. The following slides will go over a specific description for each project, and I'm available to answer any questions at the end of the presentation. So we'll start with project number 1.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Oh, yes.
Sorry. Can you go back one slide? Purchase of property. Okay, got it. No, that's fine. Bombers Market, I see it. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay, I'm good.
So we'll start with project number 1, the Stanton Park refresh. So of course we all know that we have the amazing Norm Ross project going on, and we also have an opportunity to upgrade the fitness equipment located along Stanton Park. And as staff was reviewing this project and thinking about this entryway to the Civic Center, and as we took a tour of Stanton Park, we realized that that main playground area is also in need of a refresh. And since we're spending all this money and time to design Norm Ross Sports Park complex plus the fitness area, it seemed prudent to take the opportunity to include and consider how Stanton Park fits into that greater recreational area. So we're requesting up to $410,000 to include the Stanton Park portion in the design opportunity. We haven't even begun our community outreach and engagement activities, so it would be a perfect opportunity to get the community's feedback on what additional amenities they would like to see and how that connection can happen between the sports park, Stanton Park, and the fitness area. Now, are these funds sufficient to do everything we might want to do with the space? Most likely not, but we do think it would give us an opportunity to strategically and holistically think about this area altogether. There are a couple hoops that we would need to jump through to be able to do this. One, including getting council approval for funding this evening. Two, meaning that we also have to coordinate with SCE, on their easement, as we had to do with the fitness equipment. Three, working with the design consultant to ensure that we can add this additional scope of work to the services to include that. So there are some additional obstacles to overcome, but it all seems feasible, and it seems like a great opportunity to think of the park as a whole rather than
any grants available that would enhance this number?
We are always on the lookout for grants that could be available. We don't know any of any right now, but we will certainly we'll certainly work with our other electeds as well who may want to help sponsor this project.
Moving on to
Moving on to project two, I'll give a high-level overview of each project, and then we can come back and ask specific questions. So similar to the thought process behind Project 1, Project 2 is the Premier Park redesign. So as you know, the council has already identified Premier Park to be updated and has already identified an existing budget of $600,000. However, in talking to the former Public Works Director and Community Services Director, the estimate for identifying the appropriate budget for the Premier Park redesign, it was more of an estimate and not an informed . So as we've come back and looked at some of the community desires for that park, it appears that the funding is not sufficient to upgrade the park to maybe the standards we would like for our parks moving forward. So we're requesting an additional $200,000 to supplement the existing budget to be able to renovate this park to the level that we would want all of our parks to be.
What's the existing budget?
$600,000.
Thank you.
Project number three, City Hall security access and fire alarm upgrade. So City Hall, without getting into too much detail, just to protect the integrity and safety of our employees, has certainly room for improvement in terms of the security systems and fire alarm upgrades. We think this is a very important need to ensure that the work environment is somewhere employees feel safe. We have had, unfortunately, some recent occurrences with unauthorized access to staff security areas because of some weaknesses in our existing security system. And so this is a priority item for the staff recommended for the City Hall facility. So this is at a cost of $200,000. Project four is IT maintenance. So in any organization, obviously, keeping up to date with IT hardware and software is important. The city has not had a strong track record of having, I think, available funds to maintain an ongoing, robust IT maintenance program. With these one-time funds, it's a great opportunity to get us back on track and to transition away from some of the historical patch fixes that we've been using to maintain our IT infrastructure and ensure a more stable and consistent working platform. Project five is the city rebrand and implementation project. This project has already been underway. It was identified as a priority in the earlier phases of ARPA allocation. So I know the subcommittee has already met with staff. We've already issued an initial RFP. The results of that RFP caused staff and the subcommittee to go back and decide to refine the scope of services. And I understand the goal is to reissue the RFP. So we believe that through that reissuance, the budget will come in a little bit lower. The original project as envisioned was budgeted for $200,000, and the additional funds above and beyond the branding were to actually do the infrastructure upgrades, such as changing of the signs, park monuments. Although that is very important and necessary at this time based on other priority projects, we think we should go ahead and conduct the branding program, identify whatever will come out of that, whether it's messaging, a new logo, a new seal, new colors, whatever that looks like, have that established, and then take our time to implement the upgraded infrastructure as funds allow. So this project is a returning project, but it does have a reduced budget of $100,000 rather than $200,000. Project six is the ADA transition plan. This project was also approved as part of a prior allocation, and so this is coming under particular funds. However, we have issued an RFP for consultants as we brought this to council, I think, two meetings ago. As you know, this is a requirement we must meet to be eligible for federal funding, and so the plan is to continue with the timeline as proposed here, and staff anticipates bringing recommendation of award in the October-November timeframe, and this project is funded at the amount of $90,000. The last two projects have to do with quality of life in Stanton. So project seven is quality of life neighborhood enhancement. So as we all know, there are a number of physical improvements that can be made throughout the city, and these can range in terms of things such as weed abatement, maintenance of vacant areas, installation of fencing, guardrails, enhanced protection of storm drain areas. And there are a number of benefits that would come along with these minor physical improvements for public health and safety. And these would reduce the the level of efforts from Public Works and Public Safety and allow them to spend that additional time on more complex types of duties rather than some of the things that they're currently doing because we don't have some of these physical improvements in place. So we would love an unlimited budget for these types of physical improvements, but we think $50,000 is a good place to start, and we have a number of priority areas where we believe installation of these physical improvements will reduce the presence of some of the individuals who are experiencing homelessness where it's not creating a safe environment for them. Reduce some of the illegal dumping that we're continuing to see in certain areas of the city, as well as reduce some of the public safety issues surrounding other undesirable activities. And finally, Project 8, quality of life related. Again, this is the blue light cameras program. So I know the council's familiar with this. You may have also recognized it under the moniker of the Life on Beach program. So staff has been in discussions with the city of Anaheim to better understand this program. And Anaheim has extended the opportunity to install blue lights continuing down beach. And there are a number of benefits that would come from that. It would be on a common system with Anaheim. There would be additional eyes from a number of agencies, including our own Anaheim and other interested law enforcement agencies watching those activities. It will give a visual cue and signal to individuals traveling down beach that there are cameras there. This is different from our existing flock camera program, which primarily focuses on reading car license plates and on identifying those. And Anaheim has offered a great deal of providing installation at a significantly reduced price as opposed to going to an outside consultant, and has also agreed to completely cover the cost of their ongoing software maintenance since they already have the existing program. So we would like to start this project at $50,000. We think this would allow us to purchase 8 to 10 cameras. Right now, the targeted area is to continue that path down beach from the city border. We strongly believe that this would be a great strategy to add to our existing arsenal in terms of promoting public safety. So the final slide is a recap of the 8 projects as proposed with the dollar amounts, and I'm happy to answer any questions related to any of the specific. The prior list of projects was never fully formed or fully approved by the council as part of the previous allocations. At that time, we were transitioning from changing rules and how you could use ARPA. It was very restrictive originally. And then when they opened up the rules, I think staff was casting the net wide, but it was under a very tight time constraint. So I don't think we had the amount of time we would have liked to sit down and look at all the priorities across the department. So the items that were removed primarily had to deal with developing strategic plans, fleshing out the town center specific plan, things like that that were more policy driven, and creating those types of documents, which are very important, and we certainly do want to do to do, but in terms of these existing projects, as you can see, some of these are already underway. Some of them are desperately needed to ensure stability and continuity. And so we felt that after looking at the total platform, that these were the priority projects for these special one. Michelle, do you help address that? Or Jason, maybe. Jason, do you?
Which number are we talking about specifically on here?
I think that's the budget of two. On the second table, the middle of the column, the additional ARPA-related costs that are at $254,178.
Can you? Okay, these were the costs incurred when ARPA went into effect in March 2021 until the end of the fiscal year. So primarily a lot of that was city staff time, primarily our assistant to the city manager, and then if you recall, council took action to fund those 3 months of activities for our two outreach coordinators with ARPA funds, so it's primarily that information.
On the left-hand side, it says homeless outreach coordinators spent. Are you saying they're both buckets?
Yes, because if you recall, we brought the original allocation like July through September in 2021. So we had already spent some money, and we kind of just for the purpose of having a cutoff, this is the cost from fiscal year 2021 before we developed a specific projects. We actually have a number of project numbers in our finance system where we're tracking each of these different little rectangles, if you will. But for fiscal year 2021, we were just getting started. We didn't really have a focused plan yet because we didn't bring that to you till the summer. The fiscal year 2021 is kind of, if you will, one project slash one bucket. So that's where we were before. So the outreach coordinator information is the projected and actual spending from fiscal years 21-22 through December 31, 2024, if that makes sense.
Question. Follow up on Rigo's question about what would we give up if we had this project. You had mentioned the council specific plan. Where are we on that? Is that completed, or are we lacking money on that because of other priorities?
I'll ask Jennifer to address that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. So the town center specific plan is moving forward. We've been in the environmental review phase of the project, which always feels like what's happening. The technical studies have been going forward, and they've also been having the analysis come through the city so that we can compare it and give our comments back. We have final draft of the plan. What we're missing, the key component that we're very keen on receiving, is the financial aspect, which helps us understand how the plan gets paid back over time through development. So the project team is currently working on that. We do anticipate that in the next 60 days, we'll have the completed plan and we'll be able to bring the full plan forward to the council. So at this time, we don't need any additional funding. That project is funded.
Patricia, I'm gonna ask you to go back to slide number 6. Okay, is there any project that's missing from you to get left?
Who's right?
Other than a food drive, is there a number 9 you'd like to add, or something you'd like to strike from this list and replace it with something else? Anybody?
I would assume that our city manager had already collected staff feedback before she came up with these items.
Yes, these were not developed in a vacuum. I absolutely relied on staff coming into this process, obviously late in the game, and a lot of these requests were actually generated by my time talking to staff during my first 4 weeks, asking kind of what's going well, what do we need to work on. Scott Jensen took me on a tour of the city. A lot of these ideas for some of the minor physical improvements that would really allow Public Works maintenance staff to spend their work doing the higher level quality work that they can, rather than dealing with some of these more basic issues where some of these minor physical improvements. Obviously sitting down with Stephen Martin and hearing kind of what's the status of our current IT program led me to make this recommendation. Seeing firsthand staff and hearing from them about some of their safety concerns relating access, prioritize the City Hall security access, talking to community services and Public Works about the upcoming park projects and if they were adequately funded. That led to items 1 and 2. So all of these really were generated as a group effort and hearing areas that staff had identified as, hey, we could do something amazing if we just had a little bit more funding, or we desperately need funding in this area, please consider this as a priority. Certainly this was a group effort, and I thank all of staff who answered my many questions, and Jason was a huge help in running the numbers and helping prepare. I do want to point out the presentation that you're going to get next council meeting that gives you a status update on the already allocated projects and programs and the budget spend, as well as this. There will be at least one more meeting for the council because there will be some likely cost savings or request shift. So you will still have, until we use every single dollar, we will keep coming back to the council and make sure it's
happening. Yeah, great point. So I'm seeking a two steps here. Number one, do we agree with the list here? And number two, do we agree with the allocations? Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor? Good? Mm-hmm. You're good?
All right, so the recommended action is to declare a the project categorically exempt under California Environmental Quality Act Class 2. Authorize the mayor to sign a response letter to the Orange County Regulator. Oh, wrong one.
You're close, Mr. Mayor. We do, the CEQA is correct, and then the second one is to approve or provide direction to staff on the proposed allocation plan for the remaining unencumbered ARPA funds.
Okay, so have we come up with direction?
Direction was given that Mr. Ramirez asked if City Council agreed with the listing and the allocations as presented. Motion on that item?
Second. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mayor, we have a motion by Councilmember Van, a second by Councilmember Taylor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Me.
Item passes with a 4 yes, 1 no.
Okay, we're on number 9. This is response to the grand jury report. Where have all the CRVs gone?
Thank you. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the council. I'll give a general overview for 9A and 9B. As you know, the Orange County Grand Jury is tasked to conduct research on various matters that apply to the county and agencies within the county. Two of the ones that the City of Stanton is responsible for addressing are on the agenda tonight for your review. 9A is entitled, Where Have All the CRVs Gone? And this study was to examine the lack of redemption sites and the innovative programs being piloted to return California redemption refund value CRV dollars to Orange County consumers. Staff has prepared a draft response to the Orange County Grand Jury for the council's consideration this evening. We're seeking approval to send that to the grand jury.
Any questions from anyone? Okay, the recommended action on this one is to, again, declare the project exempt and authorize the mayor to sign a response letter to the grand jury. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Roll call, Madam Clerk.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez, a second by Councilmember Warren. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
9C, approval of Second Amendment Extended Contract Quality Management Group, Inc. to provide.
Oh, Mayor, can we get a vote on 9B?
Let's get 9B first. We'll lock up 9B.
Oh, that's on the homeless?
Yeah,
okay.
It's homeless. Same.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the council. This is the second of draft responses to Orange County Grand Jury Report titled, How is Orange County Addressing Homelessness? Again, staff has prepared a draft response for the City Council's consideration and is seeking authorization to send that response to the Orange County Grand Jury.
Okay, is there any questions? Okay, is there a motion?
Motion.
Second. Madam Clerk.
And we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez, a second by Councilmember Warren. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, this item passes as well.
9C, approve a Second Amendment extended contract to Quality Management Group to provide property management consulting services.
Mr. Mayor, this also is by our city manager, Ms. Shanahan.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the council. Tonight before you is a request to approve an amendment with Quality Management Group to continue providing property management consulting services for the Tina Pacific neighborhood. We've been doing so since 2020. The agreement did expire on July 1st, 2021. Have been operating on a month-to-month basis. The Second Amendment would extend the term of the agreement through June 30th, 2023. Since my time here with the city, I've been working closely with Tim Johnson, who is the COO of Quality Management Group, and I have found them to be responsive and very helpful in terms of understanding what the issues are at the Tina Pacific community and addressing them in a responsive manner and in a fiscally prudent manner. So Mr. Johnson is here tonight to provide a report and presentation to the council.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Give you an outline and first presentation this evening. We're going to go over the background for the Department of Quality Management. We're going to work with the Southern Office at point. And we'll go through the parts of the plan that we worked with the city and we're carrying out and then we'll implementing that plan for the last 2 years. The parts of what the city is doing in that community for the last 2 years. Talk about the emergency rental assistance program and the first time we worked with the city. Give you a little bit of background on first of all, just over 4,000 units in the state of California. In that, it's been founded by the owner, Mark Stark. Making sure that we're taking care of that property. In that aspect, that has been since day one of the city and making sure that we understand what goals you want to achieve, how you want to process it, and then how in regards to what type of finances or financing have the investment back to the community. So we've been working very closely with the team for the last 2 years. That partnership again started in August 2020, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to work with the team. Not only your city manager, from city manager, all your team members that have worked with us. It's been extremely responsive, very quick directions. Just to give you a little bit of kind of background in regards to quality. The allocation in regards to committed in regards to what you're receiving in regards to our contract. Not only our services in regards to financials, those items are taken care of in regards to compliance, just basically from affordability, responsibility. But what we do is, which is most important, is actually caring for the residents. Right now, Lestat Benjamin is our senior community manager. She takes care of the day-to-day side. Day-to-day side, worked with the resident like rent, but also to from the beginning, understanding how many residents. So she is that front line in regards to working bilingual. They very clearly, Annie Acosta is the maintenance. Those work orders are again received and we process those work orders regardless of based off of get the works are responded to. But Manny and he also works with contractors have any services being provided on site, or if you have a contractor currently right now, he's working right with them. Javon Petty is the regional manager. She is the one that provides direct support for the set. That on vacation or whatever, provide that support. The email address that is provided to residents that provide questions about that is actually a group, not only with that, Javon and then our director of operation actually received by regardless of who is available. Who Ruben Castanon has been assisting for some of the capital needs of the property. One of your initial investments that we'll walk through and stuff we'll receive by the community is that lighting. That was an item that was something that really did help. Ontiveros is our director of operations. She oversees all of our team members.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead, but real quick. So how many tenants do we have?
Currently right now, off yes. the top, I know you currently have 72 units. Off the top of my head, I apologize. I don't
Fair.
Have that
no,
number.
No, just rough estimates. And of that 72, what type of email activity do you guys get per month?
Not a lot, actually. And one item that we were actually going to discuss in regards to how we actually do work with most of the inspection versus the communication out to residents. However, a lot of the communication in regards to that is actually more verbal, either when she's out walking the or ultimately, I know at that time when we formed our partnership with the city was actually developing a plan and understanding exactly, you know, where to start and where do we need to head in regards to that horizon. One of those particular items is going back to what that time when we took over working with the city, there was not a clear distinction of the number of actually family or residents or household. And so that was something that we ended up doing. It immediately walked in, worked with the city. We actually, in the middle of COVID, allowed us people in your spaces. We had residents come in and actually fill out applications, trying to find, not only coming out to and knocking on doors, but finding the ability, working with the city, especially since the residents had that, direct communication prior because of the city property. We were able to utilize your space. Thank you for that. The residents felt comfortable. They were building that trust with us how to communicate, but also what are you asking for application? Never filled with that. And so this is something that we really took that opportunity to partner with the city, really trying to understand who lived. The next item was immediately going in to health and safety inspection. So immediately within the first month of the contract, we 100% unit inspection identified all health and safety items. At that time, we did come back to the council in regards to budget for the health and safety. Those items were corrected within standardization of leases. This was one of the areas that we also heard from the city that there was no standard. You actually had some residents that had zero occupation, or they actually had it from prior owners. But this was really an item that probably took a long time. Understanding again, why are we asking? Are you? Is there anything that we should be aware of? So we actually held it was Zoom, but we actually had that opportunity to help in that aspect. We actually had a translator part of that. But overall, from that, really came back to that meeting, really trying to understand again, for answering the question from simply the clearly defined in regards to rules, but also a guide in regards to residents paying for their unit. So, but that process took over with residents trying to get them the documentation. Either both English and Spanish provided the answer question. We worked in APOC to find that some residents not submitted their application. In that aspect, we ended up all residents. We had a great success, about 70% of your residents signed the lease. And then after that process, we actually used the legal process, thanks to the city council for allowing us to move forward with it. We just posted a notice residents and communicated with them and say, by the way, you're now a new lease this. Again, APOC was involved in regards to that process. They were notified in And of course, the next area is caring for your residents during COVID. And then of course, enhancing the community. Sorry, I went a little far in regards to this, but a lot of this the presentation. Investment into Tina Pacific is again very key. I know it's very important. As I mentioned in the first month, identified all the safety items, and then those items were approved. Since the last 2 years, there has been over 265 work orders that have been processed. 183 of those work orders.
Oh, Tim. Councilmember Van has some questions.
Thank you so much. If you can go back, I have a couple of questions regarding. The first is you had stated that most of your work orders are identified proactively through inspections. However, manager Lizette does occasionally get residents requesting work orders, usually verbally or through call. Is that correct? Do you have any record or data regarding how work orders get addressed if they're communicated verbally or through calls?
Yes, we actually provided a report to the city manager and the team in reverse to identify those work orders items in regards to closeout versus the actual data completed, and we are collecting that, but we are providing that.
And on average, would you say it takes 3 days, 5 days?
Well, Councilmember Van, if I can please add to answer. So they're not responded to in the order they come in. Responded to based on the priority of health and safety. So a request may come in and it may take 6 months to get to because other requests. So that was what was so important about doing that in-person inspection. So the quality management group team came through, identified everything health and safety related, not cosmetic, not superficial, and then they prioritized those. And they worked steadily through that list, top priority to lowest. So it's not quite, it doesn't quite tell the narrative to just ask how long did it take to get a response. And I think we just finished going through the first round of all the health and safety, finalizing that. And now there is a decision as we move forward, because we know we're working towards this greater project on Tina Pacific, how much of our resources are we going to expend on some of the maybe more cosmetic types of issues. We know we're trying to bundle up the monies to do this bigger project. So we do have a record of how long it has taken, but it doesn't necessarily, if something takes a little bit longer, it just means that it was a lower priority than something else that was on the list.
Sure. I mean, my understanding from that slide is that there was an inspection 2 years ago, and it says within 9 days, all health and safety items were corrected.
At that point in time, they were identified.
And then, so would it be reasonable assume that any health and safety items can be corrected within 3 months?
So far, yes, in regards to, and again, I'm going to build a little bit of caveat on that, and I apologize, but just to kind of offer, right now we actually just did an inspection in regards to,
that's pretty scary, yes.
The reason why I'm asking is that's something we hear a lot when we speak to the residents. That they're asking for help, but it's not responsive. I don't know to what extent the requests they're making are health and safety related versus cosmetic, and that's why it's not being responsive. But is there there some ticket number or some way they can check and see, oh, someone actually got my request, and this is the timeline I can expect for it to be completed so that they're not just anxious and
If I can start addressing that, and then Tim, if you can jump in. So we have heard those same complaints, and Xenia and I have been working proactively when we hear them. And what we find as we dig in further is there's a little more to the story than maybe what's being represented to the council. In some recent cases where we dug into those, one was there was no record of them actually having contacted, and yet they represented to us and some of the other advocate agencies that there were multiple calls. QMG has a process whereby somebody who's actually on the lease needs to be the requester for that service. And so if somebody is not willing to call and they have translation support, they're willing to talk to a family member who's there as long as one of the primary leaseholders is on the phone. Two, we've also heard that there have been, or I know for a fact there are instances because I have incident reports where QMG has tried multiple times to enter a unit to conduct an agreed upon repair. And just recently, they were denied entrance to the same unit on two occasions because the individual was there but did not want them to come in and do the work for whatever reason. And QMG respected that. They filled out an incident report stating that we tried to. So I understand that there may be legitimate cases where, for whatever reason, the repair is not being addressed in a timely manner as to what the resident expects. But whenever we hear of those and we dig in, there's always more to the story. And so, and absolutely, they have a great online tracking system that they walked us through where if you use the online system, which I understand not everyone has access to, but it does track through every single step of the way from entry into the system and how it's passing through each of the members. Tim, if you want to add on to that.
And then any requests that are given verbally to Lizette or through a phone call, is that recorded? Another question, I apologize. You had mentioned that 70% of the leases were signed, and you had to use the process to get 30 leases, and now we have 100% signed leases. And then when you sign those leases, does it explicitly state how many individuals? Okay, so it explicitly states how many adults live in a unit. And does it cap the number of adults that can live in each unit?
It does not, and the reason is, just to give you an example in regards to the answer to one question, regarding the 30% remaining leases, under that aspect, all of them operate as a master lease in regards to sign. We do not have copies of them. We have copies of the leases that we provided them. And the reason is because they were refusing to sign or did not sign, so under the legal process and the property management, we actually issued a notice saying that it changed terms.
Okay, so the 30% have not been signed. They are operating under the same. So we at least have data on 70% of the units of how many adults are. And then is there any language regarding folks not being on the lease?
There is
an
unauthorized. This is where it gets a little tricky. In the past, the city did not enforce over occupancy. And the from a legal standpoint, going back and now saying that you're going to was a concern, and that's why we did not enforce it.
I had a quick question, Michelle. To date, how much have we paid their company?
To date, we have paid this company $336,068, and that goes from the start of the agreement through their management fee for the month of July 2022.
So how many months is that?
That is about 24 months. 24 months.
24 months.
Mm-hmm.
What's that average a month?
It averages, because we pay a flat $62.50 for the management fee, and we pay a flat $8,016 for the salaries of the property manager and the maintenance person. So that's just approximately $14,250.
Yeah, I thought the city did the maintenance.
The maintenance individual that we're talking about, and I think that's, Hannah, do you want to talk about what this maintenance done?
So I think historically, city staff did the maintenance. Yeah. It has not been that way for a long time. QMG has been doing the maintenance.
Yeah, but it was never done before until the city started doing it.
Yes, I would agree with that. Prior to as the city started acquiring the units, the city did conduct the maintenance, but all maintenance activities are now handled.
So did we pay for a maintenance person from that company that whole period? Yet we did the maintenance?
We have, since we've been under contract with Quality Management Group, paying for the salary of a maintenance person. I think it would be good to, and we're not going to put our poor associate engineer on the spot, but if Scott were here, because when we were preparing for this, I was looking at like our maintenance contracts and in our housing authority budget, none of the, you know, routine maintenance, the facilities maintenance, the landscaping maintenance, contract vendor costs that we have are being funded by the housing authority. So, you know, based on my looking at the invoices, our current contractors aren't working out there, but I don't know if that requires more city staff research.
Okay, so it's my understanding that staff used to tell me that when we used to go and ask their company to do the repairs, that it's the city's responsibility. That being said, why were we paying maintenance fees, directors or whatever, to their company if we did all the repair work? Because I know that for a fact.
I can't speak to when that relationship changed.
Why? It's been that way a long time. Okay, who'd you take over for?
Since the city's been under contract with Quality Management Group, we have been paying the $8,016 a month for the two individuals of their company, the maintenance person and the property manager, since August of 2020.
So correct. Basically, we were responsible for all the maintenance
prior to August 2020.
And we did not pay any
other management company at that time.
Correct.
So we didn't pay any management company for services.
So city hasn't gone in and cleaned anything in the last 2 years.
Right.
Prior to that, we did it.
The city has funded going in and cleaning things and repairing things.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
How often do you use inspections?
Great question. So, prior to COVID, what we do, our normal professional members will do for properties and minimum requests. Under COVID, that's where I was getting to in regards to your question about the work. During COVID, those inspections we actually held on to a lot of that for both the lives as part of the safety of the residents, but also the safety of our employees. When those restrictions start to loosen up, that's when we start to lower that down. The point where we're outside of emergency work, that's when we reinitiated emergency inspection, and so those arrivals have been brought back down. And that will be something that we will see consistent ever since on regards to upgrading the employees that we're providing.
Say that as of now, 100% of the units have adequate health. And how many would you say have?
How many? For 2 years.
Right now, I believe there are four.
Yeah, but for 2 years.
Okay, so 3 out of 72 have risk. Everyone else is adequately, you can say their health is safe.
population in total.
But right now, we're working with identifying.
Gave him a great recommendation.
Do you have any, at all, why they're
refusing to let them come in?
Yeah.
You know, we've been in close contact with KPOC and the Kennedy Commission to understand the fears and concerns of the community, and we understand that there's still a lot of hesitancy. QMG, even though they have a great staff who's out there in the field every day, who's bilingual, there's still hesitancy that they're representatives of the city, that they're we might have, you know, something other than a desire to come in and do the repair. So we understand that that's part of the hesitancy about, are they going to come in and actually look for violations? Are they going to potentially try and evict me over something? Are they going to count the number of people here when I know maybe I have more than I'm supposed to? So they've shared with us that there are still lots of community trust issues, and letting anybody into their unit is a big leap for some of them, even if they have repairs that desperately needed to be done.
So you have taken over August of 2020 responsibility for repairs. Correct? Okay, well, there's been absolutely nothing done out there during that period of time. So, I'm not going to blame you. So, is it the city's leadership fault? Or why? Nothing ever happened.
Sir, I believe...
No, I'm just being honest with you. Hey, look, I know the place like the back of my hand. I visit it every week. Nothing was being done for 2 years. Now, is it the city's fault or is it your fault? Just be honest with me. I want to know. Now, I don't want to hear that. I want to know why it wasn't done, in your personal opinion, please. Is it your fault or is it the city's fault?
Mr. Johnson, you can be honest if you feel that perhaps the city didn't expend the amount of proper fiscal resources initially for QMG to be able to handle some of the repairs. And if some of the
Like she said, just be honest with me. That's all I want. Because it wasn't being addressed. And it wasn't being addressed to my satisfaction and the people that were living there, and that was wrong. Please.
So in regards to when our RFP when we responded back in 2020, we actually identified and actually the scope or budget in order to stabilize the property. That budget was over $1.5 million. After when we took over that contract, we sat down with the city personnel, and the city personnel identified that we were only correcting public safety items, and that budget was restricted to when the city versus the original.
Thank you for your honesty.
Does the tenant sign off on that?
No, in regards to unless the resident actually initiated, in regards to these are the things that I need repaired due to X, Y, and Z. In the inspections, we actually just identify it based off of our team's experience in regards to the criteria that we have to do. And they go in and actually identify it, and then they walk through with the resident. These are the things that we're going to repair. They have to notify before entering in, and then that resident has to allow them to actually make the repair.
Do you have a practice of sending surveys out just to see what you guys have done?
We have not, but we are going to have it.
Okay.
What's the next step?
The next step, unfortunately, right now with the state, pretty much all emergency rental assistance programs have been extended. In regards to individuals that their applications have scheduled to be closed.
So, again, what's the next step? To be a victim?
Unfortunately, yes. Or that is working with them on payment method and so forth. Teams in regards to the federal legislature.
And what's the time frame on that?
Yeah,
it's lengthy, isn't it?
It is lengthy. Right now, our first minimum is 4 months, and that is, I would say, fast. Right now, you're looking at really, truly 6 to 8 months.
And do we have any cases that are moving forward right now?
We currently have someone that's on the reverse to move forward with those notices and present that have not started being met.
Okay, thank you.
Question. You're saying 11 people owe rent, and two were able to receive funding. After they receive that $10,500, what happens to their future rent? Are they still going to owe us because they can't pay the rent, or is there some sort of arrangement to ensure they don't keep owing rent?
Great question. So ultimately, residents and reverse under the emergency rental assistance program, some residents were able to capture all their back pay. Some of them ended up future in reverse of 1 or 2 months. That didn't extend really again past August. And so ultimately, right now, it's making sure that the residents just know that the city
expecting those to receive $10,000 eventually not be able to make rent.
So, to my knowledge, again, we work with every resident in person, making sure they have the ability to pay rent and let them know in person what those obligations are. And so, if we do not look at it in person, residents saying, well, this resident, we don't highlight saying, well, this resident's not going to pay. We look at it in person, you have 5 to 6 of every month to pay. Those 3-day notices go out. Once that process is approved, we then identify the residents on the notice, we share that with the city, and ask personally how to proceed. So far, those residents right now, we have issued notices. And from that standpoint, after those notices, then we'll move forward.
So in 6 to 8 months, it's very likely that we'll have 9 to 11 vacancies.
Regarding work orders, any repeat offenders? What I mean by that is you get a work order for, let's say, a busted cabinet. And 6 months later, it's a busted cabinet again. It's the exact same one.
We have not had that. Just again, originally when we walked in, it was only from the safety items. So again, if the cabinet was falling off, or the falling apart, where it's not as a safety item, the equipment, or people living in the unit, then it would be taken care of. But no, I have not seen anything where there's repeat offenders as well. So someone getting a repair and then.
Great. Okay, thank you.
I'd say, again, it's challenges that you just need to get into something.
So for phone or in-person request, is there any sort of follow-up to let the resident know that you received that request? Email, you know, obviously, it's written, but for phone and in-person request, or even a written request, is there any sort of follow-up to that's been
great question. So in regards to entering the unit, we're required to follow up with the resident and give notice, or 24 hour notice that we're entering any. So getting the residents to understand, once it actually gets to that priority, again, if it's health and safety, the residents notified,
someone called Lizette and said, you know, I have an issue with a hole in my wall. It's not considered a high priority item. They may never hear from her 6 months later, about 24 hours before the day in which someone will fix it. They may not even know that she had received that work order. So if someone calls and says, I have a hole in my wall, would they be given any sort of notice that, okay, we know that you have a hole in your wall, we will take care of this as we're able to. This is not a high priority item. You can expect this to be accomplished in 6 months.
There is communication regards to the resident ongoing in regards to, again, whether or not if it is health and safety, it's secure through the process I walk through. If it's not, that's where we're working with the city and identifying a process in regards to approving.
So it sounds like you're waiting for the city to approve that work order if it's not high priority.
When it's not held to safety.
Right, it's not priority at that point. It's we're balancing right now between trying to save up money to do the greater project versus do we spend significant resources on these cosmetic types of fixes.
One of the areas that you regards your question is regards to being able to track. If a resident is able to, and again, it's not something that they're required to, but if they're actually go through our actual web portal, they actually can see when it was received, where it is in the process, that's how.
I just tried accessing that website.
Okay.
The residents can access it.
One of the items that we also have encouraged residents, and again, this is even going back to the public media and we even provided an additional numbers outside of just even what we see in regards to the standard number that residents have to call questions and so forth. I actually gave out my personal cell phone number. We gave our contact information to our director of operations. So there's multiple ways in regards to that residents would be able to reach us. If for some reason, if they're not being responded to, they are more than happy, again, to reach through our entire company.
And Councilmember Van Weed were able to access the website successfully. It might have just been a glitch in the system, but we were able to access it right now.
Well, that's good because that was concerning. Like, that should be all I know.
So that's just our IT.
It was our IT.
Yes.
Yeah. Can't access it either. Have special access. How do I get this access?
If you're on the city's Wi-Fi, our firewall is blocking that access.
But residents at home would not have that problem, right?
Or correct. City attorney.
So she's on her own.
Oh, you're on your own.
Yeah. They most likely don't.
I have to try it on my phone.
Yeah.
Got it.
How often does it bubble up to you?
Not very often, but it does bubble up. Okay. Not seen in Pacific.
Okay.
Do you know how many residences there are that are empty, like a fourplex with no one living in it?
In the last report we had, the city was six. And again, I'm sorry, I don't have to know that off the top of my head, but we do provide that report to the city as far as I'm concerned.
I thought we were working on that. Yeah.
Right.
So, Councilmember Taylor, we have 14 fourplexes that have been demolished since the city began acquiring in 2012.
We do have some fourplexes where one, two, or up to three units may be vacant, but there's still one that is being occupied. And in those cases, we do try and offer them to move to a different unit so that we can take control of that space. But none of the residents have taken us up on that offer. They are very attached to the physical location that they're in. So you will find some where not all of the units are occupied. But as they become vacant, we do demolish them.
But there are some vacant right now.
There are some vacant units.
No, I mean a whole.
I don't think there's any that are whole.
No.
Just demolished one. Just demolished one this week or last week.
Fantastic.
12.
That's good news.
Have we offered them incentives?
I mean, sometimes the units that we're offering them to move into are in better shape, yeah, better quality, and they still don't want to.
Well, maybe we can help them with maybe a subsidy or something.
I'm open to talking to QMJ to see how we might be able to facilitate that.
I think one of the things we might be able to do to make it better in the future, because we don't know how long the you know, the state housing department's going to drag this on. We hope not too much longer. But I think it would be good if you got together with our city and take the quality of life issue costs to provide a quality of life for the people that live there, and to come up with a budget for a certain amount of time. You know, I think a month to month is not very good. Maybe we could do it for maybe 1 year, 1.5 years, or 2 years. I think that would be a practicum that would be very good, because if we had that budget, then we would know what type of expenditures we can expect from the city, and then we can also expect what your costs are going to be so that we can maintain those properties over a period of time. You know, it's difficult when you don't have a budget. It's difficult when you don't have a track record of spending and when you're not allowed to spend. And I think it's good that we substantiate that. Therefore, we can say, even to the California Housing Department, that we do have a plan and, you know, we need help because we only have X amount of dollars. But I also think it's going to help you because then you know how to allocate your money and we'll know how much it's going to cost us. So I think if we do that, that would be a really good thing to do.
Yes, sir. I would love to work with the city manager and the team in regards to putting that budget.
Okay, good. And then the other thing is that I would like for you to work closely with, have you met our new chief of police? Okay. I think you spent a lot of time with him because he does an excellent job in patrolling our community. And I think the quality of life there also is a public safety issue. And I know that our city public safety team has been very supportive. In the past, we haven't been very supportive. And I think that's going to make your job a lot easier. Plus, it also creates an environment of less destruction, which improves the cost to the city. So I think that would be something I'd like for you to also explore. That would be very helpful. And if the folks that live there don't feel safe, that's not fair to them or their families. And I think the future, that really needs to be addressed. So anyway, thank you very much. Are there any other questions?
No, great work, Tim. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, we have a recommended action to declare the item not subject to CEQA, to approve the Second Amendment to the existing agreement with Quality Management Group, allow our city attorney to make minor edits and necessary changes, authorize the city manager, executive director to execute a Second Amendment existing agreement with the Quality Management Group. Maybe if it's okay with you, we might add that idea of just a thought that we can have them meet with our staff, come up with a budget, come up with some ways in which we can make the quality of life better, and then also open a communication between us, the governing body, so we get these reports of what's going on out there so we can stay on top of it. And then we can also work not only with, like I don't know any of these people, I'd like to know who they are, how I get a hold of them, what their responsibilities are. You know, it would not be very difficult to see a flow chart so that we know who's doing what there. And then as a council, we can reach out when we have a constituent that calls us that's having difficulties.
And I like the idea that you talked about maybe some incentives to get people to move from where there's only one person, one family living in a unit to where they would be able to move in more people, and maybe we could tear some down. I'd love to know when we do tear them down. I'd love to see that.
Well, you know what that does too, Gary, is it reduces our cost. If we have one person living in a duplex of four, and then we have three living in one, and that other one is probably, the other three areas are totally just deteriorating, so they're really of no value. And we have, you know, you just can't keep one area up, especially since they share utilities, which is horrible. So if we can give them an incentive to move, I think in the end run it's going to be cost savings for the city. Plus, we can also begin to eliminate those that are there to show progress.
Yeah.
And that gives the people that live there a little bit of hope.
I think so.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. All right, is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, Madam Clerk.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez, a second by Councilmember Taylor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, item passes 5-0.
Okay. We're going to move on to oral communications. At this time, we're going to allow any member of the public on any topic of your choice to come before the council. You have 3 minutes. We're going to go ahead and begin with Mike Pierce, please.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council. Appreciate your time this evening. I'm here to talk about a familiar subject that many of you have probably heard about before. It's CRNR, Recycling Services. So I'm here to talk about the odor mostly. I know many of you have heard about the noise, but my main concern is the odor. I've reached out recently to Hannah. She and I have spoken about this. I had worked with you and Jared prior to his departure from the city. And he had mentioned to reach out to the AQMD, their Quality Management District. I've been doing that. I've been working with my neighbors. I've been trying to get them on board. So last time we actually made multiple complaints together. An investigator from the AQMD showed up in front of my house just before 8 o'clock. He rolled down his window. He called me while he was on the phone, and the odor was off the charts. So he asked me, in my opinion, what the odor level was, 0 to 5. And I said it was 5. He agreed with me. Well, beyond that. So
good, though. Thank you.
So, I'm asking for help. And I'm asking...
Mike, can I ask you a quick question? Is that a conditional use permit you're reading off of, or is that zoning?
That is from your city code.
Okay, so it's zoning? It's not conditional use permit, correct?
No, I'm asking, but within the conditional use permit, that could be something you can go back to them and...
No, no, I understand that. I'm just curious what you're reading off of.
Yeah, it's the city
code. Yeah, we're doing an extensive study right now, the city staff is, and there'll be a meeting coming up here very shortly, of which the residents will be involved in, right after that meeting. There are two different regulatory opportunities there. The recycling center, which is on Western, is controlled by city zoning ordinance, where the Edison easement, which is on the backside, is controlled by a conditional use permit. Those are different. Both of those are different. And so at this time, the staff is doing an in-depth study on the regulations on both the zoning side and the conditional use side, putting together a chart, reviewing it. They're going to be meeting with CRNR and their management staff, and there will be a very in-depth discussion. The results of that discussion will be a mitigation process, and then the city will then call in the residents, have a chance, we'll go through all the conditions, both with the conditional use permit and also with the zoning ordinance, and go through those regulations and go over the mitigation results.
There's got to be a resolution. We've been going through this for years.
Well, that's why we're going to get it all. We're going to get, I think, documentation on the behalf of what is allowed and not allowed is very important, and that everybody understands that, and that everybody adheres to those agreements. And I think that in order for us to be able to mitigate, we need to we have to know what we have to overcome by law. And so if you just be a little more patient, we're almost to that point, and we did it. We've done that in 4 days. We're actually trying to have a meeting this week. And then immediately after that, staff will be contacting the residents so that we can meet and go over everything. And then they'll be brought to the council for a decision.
It's gotten to the point where we can't even open our windows and turn off our AC because the smell is that bad. So I want to know who's going to pay my electric bill when my bill keeps going up, because I can't enjoy fresh air because the smell is that putrid and bad. It's literally in my backyard here, the breath of mine. And I've tried reaching out directly to my manager and to them, and they don't care.
Well, that is not going to be the future. I also would like to tell you that we have developed and working on a daily log of activity, which I think will really help not only the residents, but the people who are in the operational side. And so that will be also shared with you.
Sure.
So we're giving you a set of regulations for both the zoning side, regulations for the conditional use permit side, and the mitigation results, and the daily log program and how that's going to be provided to the public, to the residents, and to our city staff. And that's an accountability thing that I think is important to all of us.
Okay, I appreciate
it. Give us a few more days, please.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing it to our attention, because that's what's got us to this point.
Sure.
You know,
complaints of the AQMD are numerous. I mean,
absolutely, and that gets that ball rolling. And
sure.
Sitting over there versus sitting here, I've realized something, that everything here is a process and not an event, right? Yeah. You know, we're sitting over there, we expect an event, right? Here's something, let's get it done.
I truly understand.
Right, and I appreciate the patience, and yeah. definitely.
You've been on this road since, I want to say, I've started it since 2017.
Oh yeah, off and on,
so
for sure.
Yeah,
no, it's long overdue. And to the mayor's point, things are in motion, and right people are meeting with the right people to get something done.
Sure.
Something will come of it. Now, the odor, not going to lie, that's going to be a challenge, because that's tough to measure. That's not a noise that you can videotape. That's not a truck that you see coming in and out. So we'll work on that. You know, that will be part of it.
Everybody over to my backyard. Yeah. I'll sit. You guys can come and sit in the backyard.
Barbecue.
Make something for dinner. I'll serve drinks. Sit there as long as you want.
I could bring my own, but yeah.
Yeah, and there's so many variables with smell, but those will be addressed. I will say, don't be disappointed. I have some other areas in the city that I've tried to work with the AQMD longer than you have. And the AQMD is the AQMD. And, you know, it's very difficult for them to get something to happen. And I'm working with a particular case now where it's very detrimental to people's health. The dust that's being emitted in one of our construction zones or industrial zones is not only destroying the nearby property structures, but it's also unhealthy. But to get them to do something is very difficult. But I haven't given up, and we will continue to maybe push forward with the AQMD on your issues also. Okay, Mrs. Pierce, you're up.
You can hold it as well. It doesn't have to stand.
My neighbors, and for us to complain as much as possible to QMD. He said he can only give them any kind of violation if enough of us complain. So my husband and I have been trying for the past few years to get our neighbors on board. Everybody who lives along that street can smell it. The smell is just get out of your car and it just hits you like a wall. It's that bad. Like I said, can't even sit in my backyard. Said as a homeowner and a taxpayer, it's frustrating. I just feel like I have to live like this. You know, it's like living in a dumpster. As been said, it's like living in a dumpster and not being able to open our windows or our doors or anything else. Even get the fresh air in when it's a nice day, it's frustrating. So. All I have to say.
Was Mr. Jarvis one of the enforcement from the enforcement department?
Yes, he was, from the
AQMD. And that's his last name, right?
I believe so.
Okay, I know most of the people over there and the director, Mr. Vargas, so I would be happy to check on the results of that and see what I can find out for you.
I really
like I said, you know, we're aware of what's going on. In order for us to be able to mitigate or to rule or to make a decision, we need to review as a staff all the documentation, which hasn't been done. I think that agreement was 1989, and the other one was 1990. So it's been quite a while. And so I think we need to be informed. You need to be informed. We need for them to be informed, and then we will take measures after we get an opportunity to meet with not only their business side of it, but also with your side.
And I know it takes time. It's a process. Everything's a process.
Well, it's going to go a lot faster than the time you've waited now because we're almost halfway through it and it's been 4 days. I will assure you that it won't take that much longer.
That's awesome.
Not that I'm going to drop in unannounced for dinner, but what's your address again?
I could eat that for you after you don't have to.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Okay. You have it. Thank you. Perfect.
Tell me what's on the menu, though. Maybe I'll come.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes.
Move the mic up.
Last time I came to the meeting, the next day, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'll wake up. Most of the time, every time when I come, see a result. Say you want to make a result, I don't see anything you guys. Can talk to the. I don't know. I got a videos. I got everything. I can show you everything. I'm not lying.
No, and
I got tired. You guys told me.
We did get your. Thank you for emailing that to us. We appreciated that. Like I just said, we are almost there with the documentation that we have to have. We appreciate what you've given us, but I will assure you that we will have an accountability, we'll have a process, and we'll also have a mitigation program. And if you just give the city staff and our city manager a few more days, we will have an answer for you.
The end result is to, once everything the due diligence is done on this side, it's to identify what is right, what is wrong, and what are the consequences when something is wrong. That way all parties understand what's going on. That's why we have to clear the air. No pun intended.
No, and you know, if you hadn't come in for the many years or the days and the times you have, we wouldn't be in the position we are now. I think it gives us more than a responsibility to protect you and your rights. And so, you know, our city manager's new. She's now understanding what's going on. We have a process to get to where you want us to get, to be fair to not only to the business, but also to you. And so that we all have when we're done, we're going to have an understanding of the process, mitigation if it necessitates itself, but most of all, an accountability, and if something is wrong, take action.
Keep it coming, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address the council? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing. Okay, before we move on, I checked with the Roberts Rules of Orders, and I can bring back, is it H?
What I would suggest, Mayor and Council, I think what the mayor is referring to is bringing back item 6H for consideration. I would suggest that, you know, this council typically hears things in the order as they are presented, and things are out of order. There's typically a motion and a vote on it. This item is going to be moved to 10, in between 10 and 11, then I would suggest that this body have a proper motion a second to move that item in between those items.
I'd like to make the motion just for reconsideration of what I'm going to say, that's all.
Sure, we'll bring the item 10-ish.
Thank you. That's nice of you. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
We have a second for?
Yes.
So we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez, a second by Councilmember Taylor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, we'll hear item 6H out of order. Be here.
I think we've all heard the term, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. I'm going to rephrase that. I'm going to make an offer you shouldn't refuse. I'm going to make a deal with you. If you sponsor the event, I'll pay for everything. And the only reason I'm saying that is because I want the city logo, because I think it's important that we recognize this is where it's at and our community is doing it. I don't have any problem with that at all. The only thing I'm going to ask you is that I can use my parking space to put the food in Friday night so I don't have to haul it in on Saturday morning.
You want cones?
No, I don't want cones.
You want the cones?
I would like the cones, yeah, but I don't want to pay $40, so I'll go buy my own. If you let me use your cones, I promise to put them back. And I'll keep them, I'll dust them off after I'm done.
Sounds good to me.
It doesn't sound like it'll cost us anything, so I like that deal.
Okay, so you give me your sponsorship for free, and let me use your cones, and I'll put them back when I'm done.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, anybody want to make a motion?
Motion.
Today?
Second.
Okay, Madam Clerk.
She can
Okay, I'm trying to rehear that. Who heard it? Member Ramirez. Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez with the first, and Council Member Ann with the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, item passes.
All right, good. I expect you all to be there volunteering Saturday.
Right.
All right, we're moving on to Mayor, Council, Agency Authority Initiated Business.
Quite quickly, Mr. Mayor, item
11. Oh, yeah, we have no written communications,
we
right?
Have none, sir.
I'm sorry, that's where I said no. Okay. Community reports, at our announcements. Alice, why don't you tell us about the event that we that was down at Rotothrin, and that was pretty exciting.
That's right. So on the this past Saturday, the 10th of September, State Senator Josh Newman, State Senator Tom Hunter, and myself, and the OC Autism Foundation, sponsored a Mid-Autumn Festival, which is a traditional children's holiday, at Rodeo 39. They were great partners and had fantastic turnout. I think probably easily over 1,000 children at least, plus their parents and whoever. So it was an amazing event. This is kind of the third iteration for us. In the past, due to COVID, we've done this as a drive-through. So it's amazing to be able to do this in person and get feedback from the community. I'm happy they were able to celebrate the diversity that our city has. So we had lion dances, we had traditional dances, we had everything under the sun. It was fabulous. So thank you. Oh my gosh, you won't believe it. A lot of them carpooled, knowing that it was, you know, we went on TV for basically 2 weeks straight, saying, come early, carpool, you know, and then they did that.
Awesome.
Some even came in buses.
Okay, and then also Alice is the voting member for the League of California Cities. Could you give us an update, please?
Yes, so we had the conference from the 7th to the 9th. Both Mayor Shelver and I attended, and it was very successful, and I also saw our city manager there, as well as our city attorney. And I think we had at least for me, it was great to meet people again. I know it's been a while. Possibly in Sacramento. And really learn from other cities and get to know best practices. Platinum Awards, which kind of celebrates different cities and what they do. Strangely enough, I felt like some of the things we do better, but we're not getting I'm not sure how we can apply for those awards, but. They were bragging about it. I was like, we've done that a long time ago. So it was a fantastic event. So thank you for allowing me to attend that event. And I hope to attend again in the future.
Yeah, thank you for representing. Yeah, thank you.
Stephen Parker.
Oh, yes, I did run into Stephen Parker as well as Jared Hildenbrand.
Thank you for assisting and representing the city, Alice. I was fortunate enough to get elected to the second vice president of the League of Cities. The reason I did that was because it really is going to give us more of an input into the available resources of the league, being on the board now. And so I think that's going to help us when we need demographics, we need, you know, different reports. It'll be a lot easier for us to get as the board member. So.
And I was also elected.
Now, if you just come to your sand district meetings, you'll be all right. I'm just teasing. Okay, let's move on. Any other announcements? Okay, great. Okay.
Oh, car show.
Huh?
Car show.
Yes, we do have the car show coming up. It's Saturday, right outside on Stanton Park. We're very excited to be able to bring this back after a 2-year break in COVID. And I think you guys can drop by.
And get a free cell phone sanitizer and hand sanitizer, which will be passed out by Alice also.
But we're hoping that State Senator Josh Newman will grace us with his ice cream truck and give out free ice cream to everybody. We're still working out the details.
And this is the weekend of where you were, the council. I want to thank you for the sponsorship for the St. Polycarp 60th Annual Fiesta. The food is good as it always is. Just want to let you know they're going to have a great variety of food. Friday is the Mexican Independence Day. And so the whole theme of that Friday is going to be for the Hispanic community. Lots of mariachi bands and entertainment. It's going to be great. Then we're going to move into the very different cultures we have and provide a lot of entertainment on all 3 days. And there will be a beer wagon there and a lot of good food. Anyway, you're all invited. Thank you. Okay. We are now on council agency authority initiated items for future meeting. Okay. I would like to agendize defensive wiring on storm channels. I had a chance to talk with the flood control people, and some of the adjacent structures that are on the fencing have been very important in keeping the storm channels clean. And so we'll be discussing that at that time, and the value of it are the things that are doing to reduce costs to the city and the county of Orange. Thank you. Council agency authority initiative items for a future study session. Items from the city attorney.
Thank you.
City manager.
No items. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, Chief, you're up.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Council members, city staff, and citizens of City of Stanton. It is my pleasure to provide you the following OCFA operational report for the month of August of 2022. There was a total of 401 incidents within the city during the month of August 22 that the OCFA responded to. Of those incidents, 14 were fire-based, 370 were EMS rescue-based, and then 17 were hazardous conditions service calls or other calls, for a total of 401 calls. The OCFA also responded to a total of 60 incidents within the city, or excuse me, within Stanton Unincorporated during the same month. Of those 60 calls, zero were fire-based. We had a total of 58 that were EMS and rescue base, and two that were hazardous conditions or service calls miscellaneous. Of the total of the 461 calls from the month of August, we only saw one incident that was of significant nature that required the response of multiple units from the OCFA and time commitment. That was on Friday, August 5th. There was a structure fire. Approximately 11:33 in the morning at 10602 Court Avenue in the city of Stanton. This fire was a engine 46 was the first one to arrive on scene, approximately 5 minutes from the time of dispatch. And they reported they had an exterior fire involving a shed that was starting to spread to a main structure of the residence. Crews quickly were able to pull in hose lines, connect a water source, and knock down that fire. And they declared the fire, declared it under control, and knocked down at 11:44. I was looking for it back for the report, but I couldn't find it prior to the meeting, so I apologize. But I believe that the fire involved a potential arson suspect, and they were in the process. So that call involved an arson. It was an arson fire. Our fire investigators worked with the Orange County Sheriff's Department on that incident. And if I do recall, they did. On August 5th, also the same day, the crews at Station 46 had a busy day because they attended the National Night Out on that same evening. So I remember talking to them. They were had a quite an eventful day that day. During the month of August, some of the other miscellaneous and events going on in the OCFA, we saw a total of 15 graduates of our Fire Apparatus Engineer Academy. They recently went through a total of a 6-week engineer academy at our headquarters, with extensive testing and training, driver operator training, pumping operations, ladder operations, and those 15 engineers are now out throughout the OCFA, and one of them ended up in our Battalion 8. The OCFA also recently graduated 60 firefighter cadets from our annual cadet academy. These cadets are young men and women who are looking to gain experience in the fire service. We use it as a we use it as a recruiting tool. That's what I was looking for. We use these as a recruiting tool to expand young minds of young men and women and show them what the fire service is all about, and hopefully get them interested in it and have them and provide them a pathway to pursue that career down the road. Also, currently there's obviously several large fires burning throughout the state of California in the south and the north. The OCFA is committed to following resources through the state master mutual aid system. We have a total of 14 firefighters, various ranks, working in overhead positions up in Northern California and also in Riverside, California, on the Fairview Fire. We currently have one strike team with a total of 22 personnel committed to the Fairview Fire. And then just last night, at midnight, we are working on sending a, what we call a mission-ready package. It's a urban search and rescue resource of search team manager and two search canine, one of those being a lifeline, the other one being a human remains detection dog. Sent them up to Forest Falls and Glen Oaks last night for that money debris flow up there, where they have confirmed people missing and wide area search and rescues going on and so forth. For the month of August, the OCFA, we focus on following safety messages throughout the communities we serve, and these were also presented in community education events. We focus on water safety, outdoor activities during heat, and how to stay safe and hydrated if you're, you know, if you're out hiking trails and expose the elements, and then wildfire safety and mitigation of wildland fire threats through creating a defensible space around your home. I am pleased to announce that this October we're going to be opening up our fire stations again for our annual open houses. Fire Station 46 will have a open house. It'll be open to the public on the day. We'll invite the public in, have displays and tours of the fire station and equipment, and I'll get that date to you as soon as we lock that down. And additionally, we're trying to do our annual open house back at our OCFA headquarters at the same time, but there's too many community events going up there with engineer academies, fire academies, and testing, so we're gonna have to postpone that until probably earlier in the year. So once I have that date locked down, I'll be sure to share that with the city as well. This concludes my report for the Orange County Fire Authority for the month of August, and I'm open to any questions or comments.
You know, could you give us a little bit more information about the 9/11 we had Sunday, the ceremony?
Yes, so the OCFA was involved in several ceremonies throughout the county. Every year on 9/11, we hold a 9/11 memorial ceremony at our headquarters where we read the names of those that have fallen. We honor the not only the firefighters and law enforcement officers, but also the civilians that were lost. We also had an event this year out at their Richard Nixon Library as well, where our Honor Guard members were present. Additionally, several of our OCFA members were involved in a 9/11 memorial service at the Fairview Fire. Myself and Shane Sherwood, Division Chief Shane Sherwood, are on Incident Management Team 6 with CAL FIRE, and we're currently assigned to that fire. And we worked with the local Riverside Ranger Unit, Emmett, CAL FIRE, and we also had approximately 44 of our OCFA members were present for that 9/11 memorial service that we put together for all the firefighters in that base camp.
Thank you. Any questions of OCFA? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you for your time.
Is there any other business before the council? Any staff? Okay. Good night, one and all.